Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you for your word. We're grateful for the word that challenges us, even as familiar as it is. And we pray that it may still have power to work within us. Not just to challenge, but to comfort, to guide us. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. Alma Bendinier wrote a book, The Fall of Fortresses. And he describes one bombing run over the German city of Kassel. Our B-17, the Tondaleo, was barraged by flak from Nazi anti-aircraft guns. That was not unusual. But on this particular occasion, our gas tanks were hit. Later, as I reflected on the miracle of a 20-millimeter shell piercing the fuel tank without touching off an explosion, our pilot, Baum Fox, told me it was not quite that simple. On the morning following the raid, Baum had gone down to ask the crew chief for that shell as a souvenir of his unbelievable luck. The crew chief told Baum that not just one shell, but 11 had been found in the gas tanks. 11 unexploded shells. Where only one was sufficient to blast us out of the sky. It was as if the sea had parted for us. Even after 35 years, so awesome an event leaves me shaken. Especially after I heard the rest of the story from Baum. He was told that the shells had been sent to the armorers to be defused. The armorers told him that intelligence had picked them up, and they could not say why at the time. But Baum eventually sought out the answer. Apparently, when the armorers opened each of those 11 shells, they found no explosive charges. They were clean as a whistle. And just as harmless. Empty? Not all of them. One contained a carefully rolled piece of paper, and on it was scrawled in Czech. Was a scrawl in Czech. The intelligence people scoured the base to find someone who could speak and read Czech. Eventually, they found one to decipher the note. It set us marveling. Translated, the note read, "This is all we can do for now. This is all we can do for you now." Now, when I first read that, I thought, oh, wow, you know, they were telling the German people they didn't have stuff to put in the shells. But then I thought, no, that's stupid. The Germans aren't going to open up the shells to see if there's anything in them. It was a note to the Americans that this was all they could do to help the Americans win the war, to not fill the shells with a charge. Now, I want to use that story this morning, while I'm very grateful for what it says and what happened. I want to use it this morning, though, that because they were empty, the shells could not do what it was intended for them to do. In many respects, the empty shells equal empty lamps or empty tanks. And I want to start by talking about the parable of the 10 bridesmaids and what it's not about. In many respects, it is about being prepared, as I shared with Sammy and Tommy. And that's what's often preached with this parable. However, I think we often attach very negative attributes to the ones who ran out of oil. And in doing this, we run the risk of perverting this parable. It's easy to start from the text and say that it was all right for the wise bridesmaids to hoard the oil. We talk about sharing everything. But here the wise ones are the ones that didn't share. They kept it to themselves. This parable would seem to say, if you follow that line of reasoning, that keep all the oil you can get because you don't know how long you're going to have to wait. Take care of yourself first. And then the next step, when we say that, the next step then becomes, well, those foolish bridesmaids, they were foolish because they were lazy. They didn't have enough oil. They were lazy. They didn't work hard enough to make sure that they had enough oil. Where have we heard that kind of talk before? And yet, as the Reverend Anna Carter Florence, a professor of preaching at Columbia Presbyterian Seminary in Atlanta, writes, of course, the parable doesn't say whether the bridesmaid had any oil at home. It doesn't tell us if the wise ones were hoarding it or the foolish ones hadn't had time to get to the store yet. It doesn't tell us what they had in their savings account or how generous they were with their worldly goods. For all we know, the wise bridesmaids were down to their very last flask of oil, and the foolish bridesmaids were sitting on barrels of the stuff. The parable doesn't tell us. Its only concern is what they brought with them when they left the house. It doesn't say a word about motives or extenuating circumstances or reason why five women might conceivably have left their oil flasks at home. And that's significant, I think. Maybe this is not a story about how much oil you have. Maybe this is a story about the oil you carry with you. Perhaps this isn't a story about the oil you have, but the oil you carry with you. Or to put it in other words, perhaps this isn't a story about coming to worship, to church and worshiping weekly, but more about what you take from church into your week. Some people say, I come to church to be filled each week, and to have my tank filled, as it were. But do you leave the full tank behind in the church? You see, the parable is hard on us churchgoers. This isn't about the non-church. This isn't about the ones who don't darken the doors of churches. This is about you and I. A number of years ago, I shared a story of two women on a spiritual retreat. Now, one of the women went on spiritual retreats all the time, as much as she could. And the other one very, very rarely went on spiritual retreats. And they were sitting one morning in front of the big plate glass window of the lodge, looking out over a very serene, beautiful lake scene. And the one who always goes on retreats and had been to this place often says, I always get so filled spiritually when I come here for these retreats. And the other woman replied, well, of course it's easy to be spiritual when you sit in a place like this, surrounded by beauty. But I don't have time for that. Now, I'm not necessarily suggesting that we all take a whole lot of spiritual retreats every year. Although I think that would be really good if we could. But what I am suggesting is that we need to do a better job of seeing and interacting with God in the world around us outside of these walls. Joshua challenges the people with these words. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. You know, it's too easy to live our lives with depleted tanks because we spend so much time serving other gods. that the God of all of us gets crowded out. And we have to write messages and put it in empty shells of our lives that say, this is all I can do. Following empty gods, such as family, work, success, and many others, leave us depleted because they have no power to restore us. Now, some of you may be saying, Tom, isn't family important? Isn't work important? Yes, they are important. But do you serve only them? And wouldn't you be better able to serve your family and do your work if you were serving God first? We run ourselves and our families ragged, getting them to games and appointments. We wear ourselves to the bone, staying at work to get or keep our business going. We've lost any concept of Sabbath in our lives. And when I say Sabbath here, I'm not talking about just the seventh day Sabbath today. I'm talking about times during the week when we experience Sabbath. Sabbath is about being with God. Times that we can just sit and be still and reflect on the work that God has done or is doing in our lives. I'm talking about times that we do things that aren't pushing us to worship other gods and just recreating, rejuvenating ourselves. Right now, I've got a woodworking project in my basement that I've been working at for over a year. It's close to being done, but I haven't done anything on it for several months. And yet, when I do work in my shop, I'm filled because it allows me time to think and reflect on things in my life. When I'm working there, I feel like I'm co-creating. I'm using my imagination, except when I'm using the table saw. Did that once and it didn't turn out well for my thumb. Yet so often, we just go home and sit in front of a TV or do busy work. And we're tired all the time. Believe me, I know. I'm preaching to myself here too, folks. The story of the five bridesmaids is a story that reminds us that we need to be filled during the in-between times, the dark times while we're waiting. That we need to be ready to see God. And we can't do it if we're always focusing on other stuff, on other gods. Now, how do we do this? Well, I suggested in a recent sermon, one of the ways you can do it is by starting and developing a gratitude journal, where each evening, before you close your eyes and go to sleep, you write down several things that you're thankful to God for that day, that happened during that day. Or where we saw God at work in our lives. Or we can just sit quietly at some point during the day and read a Bible passage and just reflect on it. It doesn't have to be anything long and drawn out. I've included in the bulletin on that little square some places on the internet that you can find daily Bible readings to help with that. The Psalms are especially good for this kind of meditation. Because you see, the psalmists are singing and praying about experiences that we encounter in our lives. And for that reason, they come off as being real for us. We read the Psalms and say, yeah, I have felt like that. I've done that. I've experienced that. And we get what they're saying and we feel closer to them and by extension, we feel closer to God. I think it's interesting that those who came up with the lectionary have these scripture readings so close to the Advent Christmas season, which, folks, starts in 3 weeks. It's a way for us to be filled as we wait. And isn't that, that's what Advent is all about. It's as if they were challenging us, start now. Start now to get ready for the season. And so you won't be overwhelmed by the season. It's as if they don't want us to get to Christmas with nothing left but an empty shell. But often, isn't that how we get to Christmas? Who will we serve this coming holiday season and beyond? But think about what these 10 bridesmaids represent. Just maybe this year can be different. Well, maybe.